The views stated by the hosts of this podcast are opinion only and should not take the place of a qualified healthcare professional or mental health specialist. This podcast is for education and recreation. Welcome to Ask a Hag, a podcast about self-care and witchcraft in the modern world. I'm Leslie.
I'm Allison.
And it's been a long time.
It's too long.
We are asked questions every day in the work that we do within our community, and this podcast is a space for us where we can share our knowledge and experience as witches and healers. This is a place where you, dear listener, can find inspiration and also feel empowered wherever you are on your journey. The episode is sponsored by our supporters like Melissa, who's donated to our show through the Anchor app. So thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa. We appreciate you.
Really, really appreciate
it. It's really nice. Thank you so much.
And we've got so much fun stuff to talk about today, but I also felt like just to address that the space between is because we want to go softer and slower and gentler and at our pace. And in our time, and this is kind of, we've talked a little bit about this year, is not rushing. And and so when we are feeling a push to get together and do this, is kind of the frequency?
Yeah.
Consistency?
Both.
Yeah. Of the show.
That sounds good.
Does that feel, yeah?
Yeah.
Would we all agree?
Yeah. No grind.
Yeah.
Let's release the concept of the grind, because, you know, Leslie and I have lives outside of recording, and while I am absolutely blown away by all of the messages that we get via email and on Instagram through both our personal accounts and the Ask a Hag account. You guys are like so genuine and kind, and it's really like, honestly, like shocks me every time I get a message like, hey, where are you guys? What are you doing? Because it's just so nice that people love us as much as they do, and we love you back.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes we honestly don't have schedules that line up as easily. So
yeah. And I think we're all hoping to get, you know, coming together more, because we also miss each other.
I miss you so much.
I miss you too.
Oh, it's so nice to be the four of us.
I know. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. So it is, we are in the equinox.
We are in the equinox.
And we have witch here.
Yeah.
That's the title of today's episode, right?
Well,
or so,
unless
or
Donna
so,
wants to pick something
or
else.
Or inspired by, or, yeah. And so Allison and Donna texted me with some fun ideas for today's episode, which I'm really excited to share with you. But I also, before we got into that, like we are at autumnal equinox.
Yes, we are.
It has occurred. We are officially in the season that, in my opinion, one of my favorite seasons. I can't really go out on a limb and say it's the best, but I love this. I'm just going to say it. It's my favorite time of
Me
year.
Me too. Season of the Witch.
Let's pick it up sticks over here. Is that what he says? You gotta pick
Stitch.
Up every stitch. Oh, Stitch.
Yes.
You mean you're not out there picking up stitch? You gotta pick up every stick.
For the winter, because winter's coming.
That's right.
Make sure
branches
you get
are
all
falling
the
and leaves are falling. My niece and I were laughing the other day about my mom, and my mom would always come up with this most ridiculous, like, chores for us to do. She'd be like, go outside and pick up 23 sticks. And then Livy said this to me the other day. She's like, I don't know, I was over there and she like told me to go out and pick up sticks. I was like, she did what to you? She will not pass that on to you. That's my burden. But she did. She would like, come make a game out of it. See how many you can pick up in 5 minutes. Oh, like,
that's a hard eye roll.
Susie, get out of here.
No, thank you.
Oh my God. So Susie's out there picking up every stick, or I am. Olivia's.
I doubt that Susie's doing it.
She's not. She's smoking a cig and telling everybody else to
do
it.
There we go. Having a nice Chardonnay on the back porch.
Lately it's been a gin and tonic.
Oh, gin and tonic's classy.
Yeah, well. Autumn is here.
Autumn is here.
Cozy time is upon us.
It sure is. We are right now.
Yeah.
We're cozy.
We are cozy.
It's in the 50s. It's very nice.
And you know, we were kind of going back and forth the other day about things you can do during the autumnal equinox, which it is a season. It's not just a day.
That's right.
to honor your ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Because the thinning of the veil is very much present at this point in time. Frankly, I know Leslie and I have talked about this. Lots of other people have also mentioned this as well online, but things have definitely felt more like it feels closer to spirit as of July, at mm-hmm. least for me. but things are ramping up, especially this time of year when we cross this threshold of equal parts of dark and light at the equinox. And this is the perfect time, and it cross-culturally, this is the point where people start to have their ancestral festivals, where they are honoring the dead and the people that have passed on. People in Korea currently are doing that.
Yeah.
Right now, Donna, do you remember what that festival was called? I can't either.
I can find it in 2 seconds.
Korean Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is their Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Hold on.
It's really good.
Yeah, it is.
It tastes a little bit like clove.
I thought so too. Yeah.
I'm not going to pronounce it correctly.
That's okay.
Imagine that.
Chuseok?
That sounds good.
Korean Thanksgiving Day holiday where people go back to their hometowns to show appreciation for fall. All that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And mm-hmm. Japan is also doing something very similar where they come home and honor their ancestors. I'm looking at this information via Scarlet Sage, who's a witchy shop in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Higan mm-hmm. is a time in Japan when people return home to their families, pay respect to their ancestors,
right?
Clean the graves, mm-hmm. pour water over the headstone, light incense as an offering and sound of appreciation. What a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, my point is that you know, the land definitely is reflective in a lot of these cultural experiences that we're all kind of gravitating towards at this time of year. Celebrating the harvest, which is obviously going to be symbols of pumpkins and, you know, corn stalks and hay bales and apples and, you know, going to festivals to celebrate those things. But some things that I often consider during this time is reparations, because it's always good to incorporate that into our process, since Leslie and I and Donna live in Pennsylvania. We are living on stolen land. It's always a good idea to incorporate that into your harvest festivals, mm-hmm. is the consideration of the land, the history that you live of the land that you live on, and giving thanks to, mm-hmm. you know, the people that lived here before you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been thinking about.
November 1st is the kickoff for First Nation, Native mm-hmm. American, Heritage Appreciation
Month. Yes. Yeah. So why not start sooner than later?
Start every day. Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
There is, there's this really great service that I just recently found out about, and I haven't done it yet, so I will after this podcast is over. But there's a phone number that you can text your zip code or your city and state to, and the bot will respond with the names of the native tribes that lived where you currently reside. So a lot of people are like, you know, I want to learn more about this, and I want to, you know, be present and honor, you know, this American's history and, you know, First Nation people and the things that they've experienced. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you guys what that phone number is, because a lot of us listening are from the States. And so that is area code 907-312-5085. So if you want to learn more about, you know, whose land you are living on, go ahead and text that bot. Find out more. And it's part of the start of your process.
I love that. I will definitely be doing that. This we're talking about reparations, and if you are here in Pittsburgh, I have connected with the Council of Three Rivers American Indian Center, and they are located in the area, and you can make donations to them mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing stuff.
And it's very easy to do.
Yeah, it is.
Through PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
So very simple. Yeah. But, you know, The other things would be honoring your own dead as well, which we talk about quite a lot on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Because it, and Donna's like, yeah, because it's the foundation, you know, of a good practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the craft.
In the craft. In mm-hmm. The craft.
The craft.
We just had a full moon.
We did.
Full harvest moon.
How'd that go for you?
I
cried a lot. Thanks, Pisces. When
I posted, I'm like, I've done the... Yeah, so I had shaken my fist at the sky. Mm-hmm. I swooned.
I swooned at the moon,
too. It was despair, and I ate a bagel. Mm-hmm. This is arcane bullshit. They post kind of funny arcane memes and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was a tough one for me.
Yeah, same. But now we're over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're moving forward.
And we're into Libra season. So things do not only is just equinox, but there's also the balance mm-hmm. with Libra season coming in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at.
I've been feeling the need to nest more, which is why I have like 4 candles lit right now.
Oh, you do. I do. It's nice. It's cozy here.
It's cozy. And Libra season always incites that in me. I always want to rearrange things. I want to clean, of course. Yeah. But I want to create more harmony within my space, which that makes a lot of sense because going into winter, we want our spaces to look and feel nice.
Sure.
Like it sucks hold up, you know, in a snowstorm whenever you got junk everywhere.
Yeah.
And giant, you know, dust bunnies tumbleweeding around in the flow of the heat mm-hmm. vent, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, just tumbleweeding.
Oh yeah.
So Libra season definitely incites that in me. And Libra is my moon sign.
Oh, yes. This is correct. Mm-hmm.
So I like Libra season a lot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a good time.
Anything that you guys like really get excited about? Like some folks get very excited for the pumpkin spice latte. I'm not really a pumpkin spice person.
Same.
But same. I do get excited about hot chai.
Oh, yeah. Hot chai sounds sounds delightful.
Some nice hot chai.
I just end up really wanting to just bake chickens. I just want to have a nice roasted chicken. That's what I want.
You know what I want?
At this time of year.
What? I want your Hungarian mushroom soup.
Shit. Oh, I forgot. That's mm-hmm. that stuff.
Call me.
Awesome.
Call me.
Yeah, we'll have that next time.
And that's brewing in your cauldron.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stuff's delicious. Thanks for that reminder.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Roasty chickens, mm-hmm. good soups, mm-hmm. honoring your dead.
Honoring the dead.
Yes.
And connecting with the spirits.
Yeah.
Is also an excellent thing to do this time of year. And frankly, like natural, you know, because mm-hmm. they're chattering away right now.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hardcore.
Yep.
I had 3 creepy spirits when I was out in public 2 days ago. Kind of yes. Like, look, peeking. They do the whole, like, peek around the corner bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Are creeping around.
Oh, they're definitely creeping around. Yeah. For sure.
There's some shadows. I've been seeing some shadows flowing.
Yep.
Creeping around.
Yeah, you know, with their... With their wiggly eyebrows looking at you. Just the eyes and the eyebrows uh-huh. and nothing else.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So they're out.
Okay.
They're proud.
Okay. Okay.
They're feeling themselves.
Yeah. So amp up your protection. Stay grounded.
Yes.
You know.
Yes,
all
indeedy.
Those things. Mm-hmm. A lot of what I've been reading, and then I think we'll go into some of the fun things that we've got planned for today. But
yeah.
Is that there's an upswing coming in for a lot of people energetically.
Mm, that's that there's nice to
an
hear.
Upswing of abundance, of prosperity, of energy, inspiration, motivation. If you've been feeling low, like just sort of that Libra kind of end, like things are like kind of balancing out or gaining momentum for folks that have been working towards working on their dreams and,
yeah,
you know, coming into their high self space, making more strides towards reaching that sort of level of understanding within and around.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Isn't that nice
to hear? Do you think it's because of planetary things? Or
I think that there's some planetary shifting that's occurring that's going to make that. Again, I am not an astrologer, but I do love to tune into astrological weather, just like any person would tune into the weather report at, you know, the news hour. So I do kind of take into account what energetically is shifting. And I do think that things are moving around. It's not necessarily that, like, I also feel like we're going to get into kind of a big, like another sort of deep space, but it's only just to get us back up again. Like there's just a major clearing out happening.
Cool. Yeah. I love that.
So
that's nice.
Yeah.
It's so
feel what you need to feel, but also know you're not alone.
Yeah.
Things are temporary, you know, things shift.
There's always that ebb and flow.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I forget when I'm in the ebbing phase. But yeah, it's always a beautiful, an amazing realization when it comes along that you're like, oh shit, this isn't forever. Yeah. Things will be different. It sucks right now, but just like the moon changes, I change too.
Yep, that's right.
And it's nice to hear that some good stuff's coming our way.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah, especially for spooky season.
Oh my God.
Which is my favorite time of year.
Same. Well, today, favorite witches in pop culture, in fiction, nonfiction, all sorts, like, right?
Right.
Talking about who you connect with, who you identify with, or even just who captures your attention. What inspires you or mystifies you or is alluring to you. Well, I've got a few. Allison, you have one. And Donna has one that...
Well, so, yeah, so since she only has one, of course she can talk about mine.
All right, fine. Did you share your notes with her?
She knows what I think.
All right, okay. All right, well, then you can side comment. How are you feeling about this?
I don't feel very good about it, but that's fine. Okay.
Well, we want you to join in.
So here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
She wants me to speak for her.
Okay.
Her position is that Aragorn in Lord of the Rings is a witch. And the reason is because he is deeply connected to the land. He also is very much connected in more ways than one, if you know what I mean, fairies.
Oh,
you know, Liv Tyler, I'm looking at you. And,
true.
Yes. And he knows, he's taken on like a lot of the healing knowledge from the fairyland because he spent so much time there. Yeah. And so he knows how to like work with plant spirits and stuff. And he is fearless when it comes to the spirit world. When he, you know, fights the Ghost Kings.
Yes. He makes an alliance with the Ghost King.
He does make an alliance with the Ghost King at the very end in the final.
He gets shit done.
He gets shit done. That's what she says. Witches get shit done.
Is that David Bowie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is her position. Being a person that has not seen the movies as much as she has, I trust her feelings on this. I also, based off of my memory, agree on this position.
Yeah.
Please comment.
Me?
Yeah. You.
I couldn't agree more now that you've kind of put it that way. Jim and I just rewatched them recently. And prior to that, I hadn't seen them since probably 2004. I'm kind of going out there, but I just feel in stories like that, everybody is so, the majority of the characters are very in tune with their magical capabilities.
I would totally agree.
Because it's a magical world. She says there's a top layer and bottom layer. It's interesting too, because if you really start to think about it, the hobbits are this three-dimensional world.
Yes.
And the wizards are in that five-dimensional world. And everybody has the capability to go back and forth. But it's oftentimes that the hobbits forget their power.
So maybe that is why a lot of us, myself included, identify most with the hobbits.
Yeah, maybe that's what Tolkien was trying to share. So once you know, it's hard to go back. So how could we equate that to like, there's so many of our listeners having spiritual awakenings.
Oh, yes.
And it feels like this was a spiritual awakening on such a high, high level. Navigating these awakenings in such a slow process. You know, I there's so many people that come in that are immediately like, I want to know everything. And it's like, hold on. Well, it's just little bit by little bit. Go slow, you know, because the opening the mind and all of that and the energy centers to this, it needs to be a slow process, or you can get to a place where it's hard to get back to center, to grounded space. So it feels similar to that. Do you agree?
I totally agree. And the other thing too is that a lot of people tend to forget the consumption of knowledge is something that really is hard for our nervous system to even keep up with. So when you want to like know everything and all you do is like dive deep into spiritual TikTok and books and websites and Instagram and all that stuff, a lot of the times it doesn't stick. So by going slow and really listening to your intuition, which is frankly guided by your ancestors, and really just looking at one facet at a time for a specific period of time helps that knowledge to actually stick within you, and then you're able to access it at a later date. So, you know, it's kind of like eating a giant meal and you're like really into it. And at the very beginning, like everything tastes delicious, but it kind of like winds down and you just keep eating. And then eventually you're not really noticing like how amazing the sage is tasting in those potatoes. And you know what I mean?
It's a great example.
You know, so you're like gorging yourself on this delicious meal, but that at the very end of it, you're feeling sick and you don't remember why it was so delicious.
Yeah.
So by
and then you want nothing to do with it.
Until tomorrow. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, and so like you're by going slow, you're honoring your own ability to digest, and I'm using that pun on purpose, digest
wink wink nudge nudge
the information that you're receiving.
Yeah,
because your spirit team doesn't want you to engorge yourself. You know, Hermione Granger
I love Hermione Granger.
Me too. Virgo through and through.
Love that. Ooh. Hermione, she reminds me of one of my favorites that I'd like to share today. Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service.
Kiki! I love her too!
And the reason I love Kiki so much is she's fearless. She's fearless even when she's floundering. And I love the scene where she's very, like, she's first sort of arriving to her, you know, she's kind of on her journey, and she rolls up to a maybe more seasoned young witch, and the seasoned young witch is
on her own broom being her bitch, basically.
Snooty little nose up in the air.
And
she's just like, hey, hi, I'm Kiki, and I'm just happy to be here. And I can't just see myself in Kiki so much. And, you know, the other thing I love is she's just a problem solver.
She is a problem solver.
And she's not, she never sees any struggle as an issue, or, you know, I'm immediately, I hope I'm not ruining this for anybody, I'm immediately going to one of, she creates her own business. She starts to see where there's demand. She turns her weakness into a strength, and it creates even more of a strength. Like riding on a broom is difficult for her. She creates it.
Yeah.
She creates a delivery service where she has to ride on a broom all the time. So she gets better and better at it. You know, but she, I'm talking about the grandma, and the grandma couldn't, nothing was working. And she ended up saying, well, listen, I know how to do this. It might take us a little bit longer, but we can figure it out together. Just love the tenacity and the fearlessness and the problem solving and the loyalty and the willingness to be on a journey. And She's got the best familiar in the world.
She really does. I know.
And she's just, you know, she's unassuming and grateful. And I love that. And that was one of Derek's favorite movies when he was a little boy. We'd watch it all the time.
Oh.
And that's, and I just recently rewatched it. Not too long ago.
I watched it for the very first time not too long ago.
Oh, I just was like in tears at how much I loved it too.
Yeah.
Kiki.
So good.
Yeah, resourceful, right? Same kind of thing. Like resourceful and you're willing to put the time and effort in and not, you know, she never really got flabbergasted by anything.
Not too much. Yeah. Not too much. She's so sweet. That's a good one.
Kiki.
You both have good ones.
Yeah.
Mm.
Isn't it interesting too? All the things so far that we've shared aren't witchy.
No. Not at all.
You know, resourcefulness and dedication and fearlessness. And it's not how great anybody casted a spell. It's
right.
How loyal and determined and focused and...
And curious and inquisitive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, my favorite witch is from The Witch. I love old... imagery. I love folklore. It's one of my favorite things. And the witch in The Witch is probably my favorite. How many times am I going to say this? Drinking game, everybody. Witch of all time.
Yes.
Which witch? This witch. The witch from The Witch is the best. And the reason is because
there's a switch.
There. Yes. There is a switch. She switches from old to young.
Yeah.
Okay. So she pulls out all the stops, you know, and it's all like, it's all the things that the patriarchy has like kind of created around like the old wise person living in the woods. Right. But the way that the visuals are portrayed, you don't physically see the magic. It's implied. And she is really fucking old, right? We all know that. Like when she's in the barn scene where she's getting her milk and like she turns around, she's like, you know,
identify with that character.
Oh,
so
me too. So much.
Right down to my saggy bottom.
Same. Yeah. But anyway, so,
yes,
you know, these kinds of images of women, because she's a fucking badass. She's scary as hell. Right. But she can turn herself into a rabbit. She can turn herself into this buxom, beautiful woman and lure someone in. She is crafty. She is smart. She is cunning. She kind of reminds me of a Baba Yaga figure as well, because of like the guardian of a forest. Like that's to me what she symbolizes. And these people tried to tame this wild landscape, and she's not going to have that shit, you know? And that's why she's terrorizing them, because this landscape is supposed to be wild. It's not supposed to be cultivated. But I also love the scene where she's like, you know, pounding the fat into her like magical salve that she then, you know, the fat of the baby, unfortunately, but still, you know, she's using all these different old techniques to create this magical salve that then is going to be applied, and she's able to fly. I just love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's like, she's probably like out of all the pop culture / movies / you know, things that I've seen visually, I think she's the most well done.
Yeah.
And I, yeah.
I love that. And I just immediately like was able to imagery wise go to that place. And it got me very excited for this season.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt this incredible space of hope. And that moment listening to you, I was like, oh my God, it's okay. We can get there.
At the end of that film, she won.
Oh yeah.
She got her way.
Yes. So. Well, my next one is a song. And it's only appropriate. It's Rhiannon.
Oh!
I mean, everybody.
Wait a minute. Who sings this song?
Rhiannon, sing along, Barton.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Your tribute.
My tribute.
Uh-huh.
I do love Stevie.
Uh-huh. Why? why are you bringing this song up, Leslie?
Rhiannon? Mm-hmm. It's Rhiannon season.
Uh-huh.
So elaborate. The reason I love Rhiannon, yes. And so I'll just, you know, I'll do a verse, right? Rhiannon rings like a bell through the night, and wouldn't you love to love her?
Of course.
As if to say, she's a loner. Mm-hmm. And we talked about all the witches being loners, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Takes to the sky like a bird in flight, and who will be her lover? This person is wild. This person is true virginal energy, belongs mm-hmm. to nobody, is only... you know, there for self. Stevie Nicks came by Rhiannon, not because, you know, everybody thinks, you know, everybody's like, oh, Stevie Nicks is such a witch. But you ask Stevie Nicks and she'll say, I'm not a witch. Mm-hmm. And I saw this long time ago, MTV used to have these like inside stories, and Grace Slick was like, she'll never say she's a witch, but she is the white witch. So, and that, but that's just such a Stevie way of being anyways. Stevie didn't know that Rhiannon was this like Welsh goddess. Mm-hmm. She came by it through a book that she was reading. And I have it listed because I knew I would forget. Triad by Mary Bartlett Leader. And it's a novel about a woman named Bronwyn who's possessed by another woman named Rhiannon. And it kind of goes on about that. But Rhiannon comes from like Welsh legend. Mm-hmm. Welsh myth. A lot of these Welsh tales, which I've actually come to know more and more about by reading Laurie Cabot's A Witch in Every Woman. She talks a lot about them. And I have to laugh because the Welsh pronunciation of this word is very, it's like, it's Mabinogion.
Are you saying Mabon?
Mabinogion. Hold on 1 second. You're going to get a kick out of this because I have it right here. And you're going to, this is what I was doing over coffee and Jim just kept laughing at me.
Mabinogion.
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 That's how you say it.
And what are we saying?
That's the Welsh tradition. These like Arthurian legends is what we would call them ultimately, like in English. But it's this, you know, the Welsh tradition, the middle, the old scripture, like it's not scriptures, but like the old stories, the old lessons, okay. The fables.
And Rhiannon is part of that.
Rhiannon is part of the old Welsh fable. Mm-hmm. And I love Rhiannon for the wildness. Mm-hmm. And not being attached to sort of like the shadow aspect of myself. Mm-hmm. This wild, attached to nobody, does nothing for anybody. This just like, I just see like my hair on fire kind of energy, sure. You know. But Rhiannon is well known for having, a raven, like birds, familiars. So she thinks that she's kind of like this queen of swords energy or this air energy too, which Stevie was a Gemini. So I would assume would connect with that. Mm-hmm. So I love this. And of course, everybody loves, you can't, I mean, everybody's going to hum song. The tune.
It's a great
from
song.
From time to time, absolutely. You know, it really is. It's beautifully done. And of course, Stevie does an incredible job of it. And it's a great song for this time of year mm-hmm. and such a wild witch. And I just love that. And I think that when we think of the word witch, there's an allure because of the wildness.
Yes.
And the freedom and the badassery.
Yes.
And the scariness mm-hmm. and the place that if we really let ourselves be free, untamed, uncaged, that's really what we're seeking.
Yeah.
And I've actually been reading a lot about that. Glennon Doyle, you're familiar with Glennon Doyle, mm-hmm. wrote this book, Untamed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading excerpts of it every bit. And it's just like, oh my gosh, we really have been caged.
Sure. Absolutely.
In so many ways.
Yeah.
And Glennon puts it through the lens of like a female perspective, but I think it's transcends and you know, anybody's experience. Mm-hmm. She starts it with the story of a cheetah. Mm. You know. But it's what it feels like, just that seeking the untamed space.
And you know, because we live in a society that does constrict and does withhold and does encourage the grind and stagnancy, you know, which is based in capitalism and industrialism. doesn't it make sense that culturally we love the wild ones, you know, in stories? We love them because they are aspects of ourselves that are within us that we oftentimes never feel can come out.
Yeah.
You know, because we have so many elements like working against that. The alarm clock and the schedule and the family expectations and the expectations of our coworkers and, you know, all those things. Mm-hmm. So it makes a lot of sense that we fall in love culturally with characters like Rhiannon and like the witch and like Aragorn from Lord of the Rings, because he's wild too. You know, he's sitting in that fucking pub smoking and looking at everybody and watching and being a heartthrob, you know.
Is that out loud?
Yeah, that was out loud. I'm feeling it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool to think about that kind of stuff. Like, why do we love these things or these people? You know,
it is interesting to break it down again. Like, Rhiannon doesn't necessarily. I mean, in Nyx's song, there's not necessarily that Rhiannon's at her cauldron brewing. Rhiannon says at a cauldron. She's not right. You know,
yep.
Setting her intentions. No, she's wild.
Yes.
She's alluring. You can't cage this person. You wouldn't you love to be her lover? Well, you don't have a chance, you know? She takes nobody.
No girl.
That's I love it.
Yeah.
But there's no mention of that. Like,
I respect it very much. Very much. I love this.
Good. That's good. So cool. Yeah. You got another one.
I got one. Last one. So the witch in Hereditary. the film Hereditary is probably one of my favorites. It's a A24 produced film. It's incredible. It's kind of slow, but I like that kind of thing, you know, to have like that build up. But so the witch in Hereditary, I really love because she is like the flip side of the stereotypical, like modern day witch, you know, where she's really approachable and really friendly, and she's got her house filled with dried flowers and, you know, poppets and all kinds of things, you know, like her
invites you in for tea.
Invites you in for tea. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But she is fucking scheming behind your back to try and get her way, basically. And I don't want to give away the plot. If you guys haven't seen this yet, I highly recommend it. It's a really great movie. I get scared by it too, which is always fun.
I've got a good meme to send you about.
Oh, yes, please.
I've got a good meme for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really get scared by stuff anymore, but this one scared me. But anyway, yeah, I really loved the twist of this witch as well, because you think, and you know, that she's nice and she's doing a good job and taking care of people and stuff. But in reality, she's just trying to, you know, plot against you. Yeah. And I think she's really cool.
Absolutely.
What did she put in that tea, Leslie? What was it?
Tannis root.
Yes.
Tannis root. So let me ask you, which would you rather? Would you rather an Arthurian legend witch or a painted witch?
Painted.
Okay. So my next favorite witch, and it's basically any of the witches or the female characters or the femme characters painted by John Waterhouse.
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
And the one in particular, we don't necessarily know the name of this witch, but it's called the Magic Circle. I believe it hangs in the Tate.
It's a great
I think a lot
image.
Of Waterhouse's stuff hangs in the Tate. You know, the one I'm talking about.
I do indeed. Yes.
And there's this like, go ahead, please. What?
She's got crow friends, or ravens, hard to say. She's got a cauldron. She's got a beautiful like like stormy blue gown on with a belt around her waist,
her
and she's
belt.
Drawing a magic circle around herself.
Yes, she is.
And she's got black hair.
Crazy black hair. All alone. Mm-hmm. Again, wild.
Very much
alone
so.
Alone in and a barren
also,
space.
I was just going to say that. Barren landscape. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's always, and it's always something that I've been trying to achieve within myself, is that the attribute of a witch is to place your space, to place yourself alone in a space that could be frightening.
Yes.
And that has always inspired me.
Yep.
And I love that. And I looked it up just to kind of see it a little bit more. And what was sort of talked about here, that, you know, we understand that this woman is a witch or a priestess endowed with magic powers, possibly the power of prophecy. And everything outside of the circle is scary, and everything inside of the circle, there's flowers and fire and mm-hmm. safety and protection. And I love that. And I never really noticed this until I read this, you know, this sort of explanation of it. In her left hand, she holds a crescent shaped sickle, which is, what are those called? Bow and knife or something?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I mean, I love that whole kind of idea. A group of rooks. What is that? Is that like a group of ravens?
I think rooks are in the corvid family. They're a different, they're a different bird though than raven. Yeah.
Because they're saying a group of rooks or ravens and a frog, all symbols of evil associated with witchcraft. I don't find them evil.
Me too.
But anyways, I just love, again, the allure and the mystery and the place that it takes your imagination, and the wilding of it all. Is what I find so, it is what I've always found comforting about the craft and comforting about these images, is that it evokes in each and every one of us the willingness to, you know, protect our friends or find ourselves in a space where we're reclaiming ourselves, testing, you know, our personal limit of, you know, I say this with a clause of safety for everybody, but like, you know, putting yourself softly and slowly in positions that are like, this scares me, but I know this will also empower me in a way. Like my sister goes camping by herself and I'm always like, what? She says it empowers me to do this, to be alone, wild in a forest. Mm-hmm. Getting that cauldron bubbling with some, you know.
So good.
Oh.
So good.
Oh, I can't wait to send you this meme.
Hey. So we've got... I put a broom outside.
I saw that.
I made that broom. And this morning, it was on the ground, which tells me, because spirits have been super active in the neighborhood as well, that we were protected overnight.
I have one not outside. Well, I do have one outside, but I have one also inside right by the door.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, Marnie always says to keep the tip up.
Put that tip
she
up.
She would, wouldn't she?
You know what I mean? Harlan from Arizona writes, "Hey there, friends. To survive pandemic isolation, I started listening to podcasts late at night when I was alone tinkering in my room just to hear human voices. As a neurodivergent person, I realized that I have picky tastes when it comes to recorded voices. Maybe this is a thing that everyone has. Anyways, your podcast has been the only one I have returned to, not only for the subject matter, but because your soothing voices and hag laughs hit the right vibration my brain needs to calm the F down and enjoy the wisdom you all provide in your show. Y'all are wonderful and hope that you continue providing your magical advice on the ethereal realms." Thanks, Harlan. To my question, I have been seeing and interacting with spirits since I was a kid. A few years ago, I had two very intense interactions with spirits that initially were very terrifying, but ended in me being able to work with them so that they could pass on. Since then, I've been working on putting up hella boundaries. I do salt rings, 5 points, smoke cleansing, flower essences, black tourmaline, and lots of personal work. I am wondering if you have any advice on how to move forward as a psychic now that I have learned boundaries with spirits and ghosts. Now that I am here with my personal boundaries in place, what is the next step? Any advice you have on opening the psychic field would be so appreciated. Thank you for your work and your time. Leslie.
Wow. Yeah.
I know you have a lot to share with, yes, with us. Partly because you've been working with Karen Crisis.
Oh, yeah.
And Karen has a new book coming out, right?
Yes. It is The Warrior of Light.
And it's pre-orders now, right?
Pre-orders
and Karen
now.
Is a psychic, and she teaches people all about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It sounds too like, Harlan, you've gotten yourself to a really strong base level.
Mm-hmm.
And it is time to maybe find a mentor to take it to the next level. However, you know, kind of considering what this mosaic wants to look like for you. You know, you had a scary situation, but you also helped to have spirits pass on. Maybe part of your gift is helping spirits pass on. That's some of the work that you choose to do. Maybe you end up being some sort of, doing sort of death doula work. Working in that sort of way, creating space for spirits to feel comfortable to pass forward, pass on, and move on. You might feel called to do that. You may also feel called at some point to share messages with people.
Mm.
Clean homes, clear homes. You know what's working for you. It may also work in other people's homes. They're having experiences. You may find a team in your area that you can work with on this level. I think it's good to do this work with somebody else.
Yeah, with other people. Yeah, totally.
So that might be something that you feel is a next step for you. But really, like, feeling in the moment, okay, I'm ready to move on with the next person. And I can first and foremost recommend Karen because of my experience, mm-hmm, with Karen. This person is warm, safe, approachable. You know, helps, you know, allows you to feel very comfortable in the process. It might be that you even seek a reading with Karen or somebody similar that can say, hey, recognize this is also in you intuitively, and this is the next step, or this is where I'm seeing you move as you're moving on your path, where your next sort of the door that opens for you, or the, you know, portal that opens for you. And never forgetting that you also hold everything that you need within yourself and your team. Mm. You've set up really strong relationships with your team. So you can say, show me the next step. Where am I needed next?
Mm-hmm.
Trusting that they'll provide that path for you. Karen's incredible. You can find Karen Crisis at KarenCrisisHeals.com, I believe.
Yep.
And you can follow Karen at Karen.Crisis on Instagram, I believe, as well.
Karen, yeah, she's an amazing teacher.
Karen's incredible. Marcella Kroll is incredible,
mm-hmm,
as a teacher and guide.
Mm-hmm.
Also
totally agree.
Neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, they have a podcast called Saved by the Spell. Mm-hmm. Teach classes are probably one of the best readings I've ever had, mm-hmm, was with Marcella.
Mm-hmm.
For Marcella being so, you know, I think that we think of psychics as being sort of free, but Marcella reads like I do. It's like, let's do the work together. I want you to receive everything you have. We're here to kind of sort through this. So Marcella is very conscientious of your time and wants you to receive every single message and hear everything that you need to hear. So it's very, very proactive,
mm-hmm,
proactive reader.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really echoes what you're sharing. But first, I would say most importantly, honoring your own journey with this. Like, if you're feeling pulled in one specific direction, you have to really listen to that and not ignore it. So maybe that direction is working on clearing spaces for people. You know, really follow that along, because that's a clear indication that that is something that will help you continue developing your own gifts and your own strengths. The other thing too would be making sure that you are checking in with your spirit team mm-hmm. as often as possible. Because working with the spirit world, of course, we've got nice things and not so nice things and in the middle things. So it's always a good thing to be certain that you are cleansing and clearing and protecting yourself and your space and your loved ones that live with you as often as you can when you're doing this kind of active psychic work.
Mm-hmm. I'm also going to bring back an old friend.
Old friend?
Mary Mueller Shute.
Oh!
Hey, Mary. Where you been?
Hey, what's
How
up,
you been?
Mary?
Mary writes a great book called Managing Psychic Abilities.
Mary
and A Guide to Spiritual Awakening. And we were talking about spiritual awakenings earlier. Donna, you okay?
I'm so pleased. She's back.
I am too. Oh, she's Mary. In my nightstand. She is. Mueller Shute is in my nightstand.
Mary Mueller
Shute. Let me say something.
Yes.
Her writing is very approachable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And very easy to digest and understand no matter where you're at. So. Just saying.
And I also, I have
just
to,
saying.
To that, like this Mary Mueller Shute is not something I found. It was brought to us by our wonderful friend, Anne.
Anne, the shaman.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Who we had, and Anne recommended.
She did.
This book.
Managing Psychic Abilities.
Managing Psychic Abilities. Mm-hmm. And this does go into deeper depths. And a lot of what Karen does too is like doing like self-meditation. Harlan, we're just laughing because Mary Mueller Shute's a thing.
We love Mary. We should set up like a fucking Amazon list on our website so that if people buy Mary Mueller Shute's book from us, we get like
maybe
one
she'll
cent.
Join the podcast.
Maybe. Oh my God, we should have her.
Can you hear us, Mary?
Mary.
Are you up there?
Are your ears burning, Mary Mueller Shute?
We need you.
Sorry.
Seriously, though, Harlan, it is a great book. It is approachable, and there are chapters as you're going deeper and deeper and deeper when you're setting up your boundaries, as you said you've been doing. You've got a great sort of handle on that. Then Mary takes you deeper into meditations that you can be doing, trance work that you can be doing. I got lost in the sauce there for a minute. That felt good. But yeah, and that's a lot of the stuff that Karen likes to do too,
yes.
is like take you through trance visual meditation where you are greeting the next guide, agent of magic, mm-hmm. goddess, god, you know, that's going to sort of share a little glimpse into this, you know, clear you further or heal you in some way or give you additional information that will be helpful to you as you're doing this work. And a lot of this can be attained by you doing these visualizations. And it seems really simple because it is really simple, mm-hmm. but it's incredibly, to use your word, hella effective.
Hella
effective. Mm-hmm. So Mary Mueller Shute, Managing Your Psychic Abilities, and Mary also does A Guide to Spiritual Awakenings. I wanted to say we were talking about spiritual awakenings earlier.
You did.
What's really important to know is that it isn't one and done.
I have them a lot.
And they're going to come. And then there's also going to be points, Harlan, along your path where you're like, oh, I got this. And then all of a sudden, there's a new level opening up that you need to recalibrate with and create new boundary sets and all of that kind of thing.
It's like an onion.
It is exactly like an onion. Mm-hmm. On the TikToks, I explained it as the Russian dolls.
Yes.
You know, until you get to your core, you open up one and one. Mm-hmm. So Harlan, a couple options there for you. Anything else? Any other resources that you think might be helpful for Harlan? You think maybe
get a reading from Karen.
Yeah.
She's the best.
Yeah.
I've had a great experiences with her as well. And I can't highly recommend her enough.
Oh, Karen's mm-hmm. awesome. And Karen's always doing classes and,
yes.
and she's also doing like full moon trances.
And she's very affordable too.
Yeah. Very, yeah.
Very approachable when it comes to the financial elements.
She's one
of
her favorites.
Yeah. Same.
She's one of my favorites.
We're a big fan. Big fans.
All right. So the next question we have is from Ninruk from California. Hey, Hags, I appreciate and cherish your podcast so much. It feels like a warm, witchy hug. Thank you so much. But I'll get right to it. I've been doing research on servitors and decided to create one last night. I made and fired a dragon out of clay, painted it, adorned it with sigils, and put my intention into it. I'd prefer to keep his function private for safety. I set up a small, separate altar space next to my bed for him and other workings that serve the same purpose. I placed him on top of selenite and set up a crystal grid around him with some herbal offerings and incense. I went to bed and woke up this morning to a rock that I had put on the altar tucked next to me in bed and a ring that was also on the altar next to me on the other side of my pillow. So what do you think? I sleep alone. I don't think anyone else could have done this. I truly feel that he put the rock and the ring next to me as a message to let me know he was there. I have a good feeling about it, but I'm also a little overwhelmed. So how do I maintain this new relationship? How do I communicate with him? Thanks, guys. Thank you. This is an incredible
great question. Cool experience,
so cool.
Too.
Such a cool experience. I love this idea of working in this way. So incredibly creative and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's 100% an acknowledgement that the servitor is active and ready to work with you on whatever it is that you've intended. It's definitely a positive sign, like, you know, like you're feeling. So affirmations with that. This is an active relationship. You have to put work into it. You would be doing that through conversation. It sounds a little strange, but by having an open dialogue with your servitor, you can do that with like automatic writing. As an example, to have that kind of back and forth dialogue, you could also just sit and meditate and like think about the conversation that you would be having with the servitor and possibly receive auditory or clairsentient reactions or responses. That could even be like feelings in your body or just emotions, like, you know, kind of washing over you as opposed to
smells.
Yeah. Or smells, clear, you know, alien. Yeah. Like really checking in with your, with all of your senses when you're going through that process. But it's a very active thing, because you have basically harnessed a spirit, yeah, and made it into reality in a way. I do tend to feel that these things exist before us.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
You know, they're of us, but they are also beyond us. And I really love that you made it out of clay as well.
Yeah.
I think that's really beautiful.
Earthy.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like all the elements too, the fire,
yep,
and the earth, the sigils, that's air. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Painted it. That's water.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. You've really called in all the elements there too.
Yeah. It's a cool process. And I appreciate you sharing that with those aspects with us. But like I said, this is a daily interaction. It should not be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is like having another family member in your life, in your household, and
feed it.
Exactly.
Water, yes, it, offer it things, mm-hmm, honor it,
asking it for advice.
Mm-hmm. It obviously likes jewelry, rocks, jewelry.
Totally.
Like, you know, allowing it to be a protector of those things.
Mm-hmm. What happens when your time together is over? I always think about this kind of thing when it comes to magical objects that I work with for a period of time, and then you kind of cycle through working with them. And what do you do at that end? And my thoughts are always a funeral of sorts, you know, in all of the senses, really reflecting on your time together, deciding what way would be appropriate to kind of sever the connection, maybe ask it just to retire,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
You don't necessarily need to break it and release it. You could say, okay, you know, our relationship is, for me, is finished now, but if you wish to hang out with me on my journey, please feel free. I'm always happy to hear from you.
But leave if you must.
Leave if you must, exactly.
Stay if you will.
Stay if you will. I love that. Yeah. But, you know, some of these magical beings will be with us for a very long mm-hmm. time, too. But I always like to think about, you know, the end game mm-hmm. when I do this kind of thing.
Absolutely. Because, yeah, these like, when you put so much, like, there's pieces of yourself in that. In the event that you are ending the work together, not necessarily a relationship. Or if you are choosing to bury it or however you choose to do that. Like, know that parts of yourself are within that and that there may be parts of yourself that are also passing on mm-hmm. or retiring.
Mm-hmm. I think the key is to not forget mm-hmm. and try to not get caught up in the daily grind and forget about these beings that are here to be friends and are here to help us.
Yeah.
You know, because Leslie shares quite often about her gratitude process. I also have something similar. Every single day, you're thanking spirit for what you have and what continues to come into your life. And we have so many spirits helping us on a regular basis, and it's really important to just have gratitude for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The babes.
That's a beautiful, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. You know, magic is so artistic in so many ways. And I love this, like, there's no end to the creative process of creating a spell, building a relationship. It's such a brilliant thing. It makes us so aware.
Yeah.
That's another, we were talking about all the witches and their attributes, but the awareness. Mm-hmm. The presence is also so important to me about witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Maeve from Vermont writes, "Hello, hags. I need some help. I'm from a small farmy town in Vermont. Lots of small shops, 25 minutes to the grocery store, about 45 to the nearest, quote, big city kind of town. Recently, three shops have opened in our sleepy town selling witchy goods. I took to the one that opened first, pre-pandemic. I've gone to support the other two, but they just feel cold. I don't want to bash any small shops, as I do my best to shop local and support small, but they seem to lack heart. They seem colder, pre-packaged, like if there was a witchy catalog, they'd just be purchasing and reshelving those goods. Sorry, Allison. I know you love a good catalog. I sure do.
Thanks for noticing, Maeve.
Thank you. So, how do you discern who/where to support? At what point does witchcraft cross the line into capitalism? We are such a sleepy, farmy town that it seems like this may be seen as a commodity. I was excited to finally have multiple places to shop in person, and now I'm not so sure. For you personally, what do you look for in the items you purchase, the shops you support, and how you spend your money for your practice? Thanks in advance." I love this question so much.
Maeve, I feel like you're looking right at me.
It's a hot topic these days.
It is a hot topic.
Hot topic.
Especially for me.
Well, and not just, I mean... You know, you go to Michael's and you see witchy shit. You know, like one of my students texted me earlier this week and, you know, it was like a grown-up sippy cup with a straw that said "witch please" on it. And it was like all sparkly and shit.
I hate that stuff so much.
Well, yeah. And so like, let's talk about why, right? Uh-huh. It's capitalism, mm-hmm. seeing the trends of people, quote unquote, waking up and seeing how popular witchcraft is in, you know, our culture at this time, and yeah. they're trying to get all the money they possibly can.
And I do see the dark and the light of it.
Absolutely, I do too. No doubt about it, because it more presence means it's more accessible to people.
Right.
But Maeve has the great question, which is that, you know, how do you be discerning when you walk into a space?
I, you know, if I may jump in.
Please.
Allison, may I jump in?
Yes.
It's the energy.
Totally.
How are you being greeted?
Mm-hmm.
are your questions met with compassion? Do you feel like you are being seen and heard? Do you feel like you're being respected? Now, everybody has bad days.
Sure.
Absolutely. Everybody gets thrown up in their overwhelm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of us can come up short. I know there have been times that I felt a little on edge in my shop.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, on average, the majority of the time, are you feeling seen in the space you're walking into?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is somebody willing to have a conversation with you further than just what's available in the shop? Are you talking about life? Is the person just coming in, crying in your arms for 5 minutes and leaving and not buying a thing, and it doesn't matter? Because mm-hmm. it's not about having the shop. It's about having a zip code, an address, physical space for somebody to come in and be held and seen and feel like they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 1,000,000%.
Totally agree.
Does everything look like it's, you know, mass produced, or does it look like it's made with love?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that I look for.
Same.
Not only in having a shop, but in the shops that I like to support myself when I go to other cities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do they have local items from local folks?
Mm-hmm.
Is the community being respected? These are things I think about.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I totally agree with all those things. Because social media is so accessible at this time, another question I have is, does this place look like it was pulled from Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are somebody,
or a Pinterest board,
right? Or thank you, or a Pinterest board, yeah. Like, you know,
and that's fine.
It
that's
is fine. It
There's
is
a lot
fine.
Of inspiration there.
Absolutely. But you have to engage with the staff and see if they're knowledgeable about the things that they are selling. If they are knowledgeable, then you have a legit spot. If they're not, if they're just like, you know, rose quartz is nice. Well, it is nice, but why, you know, then it, you can keep your money to yourself. You know, it's really, yeah. It's really about the quality of the people that are working there, because that is a tell that the products that they're selling are, thoughtfully curated and not just there for, the sparkly witch please
mm-hmm.
crowd.
The other thing I want to bring up too is, like, a lot of times, and I, you know, Maeve, I have a shop. It's called Ceremonial. You probably know this already. So it's really important for me, because it's me, because it is me, because this is my life. This is my path and my chosen, in my chosen journey, my soul's journey. But, like, it's so important for me, because I'm taking up space to give back to community and neighborhood that I'm in. Neighborhood, all zip codes, and, you know, and that not just physical neighborhood, but online neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
In the ways that I can. And one of the greatest pleasures that I have is being able to support other vendors that are able to live their dream, quit that 9-to-5 job that never made them feel right, fully live their life as an artist and maker and witch and creator. A single mom, you know, a young male witch that's starting to create their own products or be their own reader or create their own deck. Like, this is huge for me. And sometimes that shows up as being a little bit more expensive than your mass produced items. But to me, that's what makes a shop have heart.
Mm-hmm.
Is mm-hmm. being able to support their community.
Yeah.
The products they have.
Yeah.
The other thing that comes to mind that's important is giving back to that community by, you know, services, or donations to local communities and organizations. Mm-hmm. Those things are really important. So what are their best practices?
Yeah.
What's their mission statement? What's their intention behind the store? Ask them.
Yeah, definitely. If it's not already out there. Money is energy. Where we choose to spend our energy, spend our money, is extremely important. And I think Maeve is really highlighting that in their question. And I think this is a really fantastic question because the market is becoming more and more saturated. Mm-hmm. You know, where we choose to spend our money is extremely important, especially when it comes on, when it comes to tools that we are using to support our own spiritual path, our own spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. So doing your research, which is very easy to do these days. Everybody's got a computer in their pocket, super simple to look up their Google website on all that stuff. You know, doing your research and knowing who you are spending your money on, your energy on, is super important. Are they giving back to the community? What is their staff like? How are they curating the products? Where are they sourcing their products from? Those are all the questions that I would have, you know, for those folks.
And a lot of shops will have this information on an FAQ page online. Mm-hmm. Or you can check Google reviews. They may show stuff there, like that kind of stuff. Like you can, it's out there. It's accessible if it's been thought about.
Exactly. And if it's not been thought about, that's a flag as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Maeve, great question.
Great question.
And thank you for bringing it up because this is a temperature of the time, I think. And gosh, I remember when Sephora did that whole tisk, tisk,
the
tisk.
The witch kit? What was it?
Yeah, it was like a witch kit with like white sage and stuff. This was like probably 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But everybody was up in arms because that is where it crosses the line to capitalism. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Along with the Witch Please book.
Yeah, at Michael's.
Yeah, I can't.
Whatever. Mm. Yeah, that's not my cup of tea. And that's fine.
And it's not the mug you're going to drink it in.
No. No.
Oh, no. Okay.
All right.
This has been so nice.
I know.
And a welcome to the autumn.
Friend. Welcome to autumn, friends.
Oh.
Or spring.
Yeah.
Depending on your hemisphere.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to spring. Sweet ones down under.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Congratulations. You made it through winter.
Yeah.
Good job.
Well, thanks for sticking with us, everyone. Thanks for being curious and thanks for checking in on us. We really, really, really appreciate it. And
yes, we do.
Your support along this path and still wanting to hear us and still believing that we are relevant means a lot.
For sure.
The Ask a Hag podcast is produced by Donna Kyler. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen. You can be part of the podcast too. Leave us a voice message on the Anchor FM app and we'll play it on the show. And we love hearing your voices.
It's true.
Don't forget to review us on Apple Podcasts. We love 5 stars so much. You can find this podcast on Instagram at ask.a.hag or at askahagpodcast.com.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Welcome to the season that we all love so dearly.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
And goodbye.
Bye.
Classy times.
Just one. With my cigarette.
Anyway. What brand does she smoke?
A Marlboro Ultralight 100s.
Ooh. Nice. She is a classy lady.
Yeah, she is. She mm-hmm. She likes them long and strong.
Long.
Or sort of light. Or ultralight.
Light as a feather.
I come from a smoking family.
Listen, I do too.
I quit. Get it. I quit. Back in 2003, but yeah. And when I would go get cigarettes, my grandmother used to be like, why are you going regular? Why don't you go for the hundreds? It's the same price. You're getting more of a cigarette. I'm like, is that really how it breaks down?
I don't think so.
So Bev was working on the bargains with me. Yeah. You're wasting your money on those regulars.
My dad would do Pall Malls.
Oh, of course.
Uh-huh.
Do we know anyone that did a Virginia Slim?
my Graham did. Hazel Burge smoked a Virginia Slim and fuck it. She had her own purse that like did the little like clasp at the top.
Uh-huh. Oh, I had one of those for a long time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was and a classy smoker too.
Of course you were. Mm-hmm. Of course.
A little and cigarette case.
Yeah, she'd stick her little lighter in there too. So it was like all in one, you know, inclusive.
My grandmother used to write her to-do list for the day, fold it in half and stick it through the little cellophane part of the cigarette case. So she always had it on her.
Yeah.
I also used to smoke Virginia Slims from time to time, or Capris. If you remember the Capris, they were real skinny.
Uh-huh. Do they have different colors?
Yeah, the regular was very vibrant, like orange, and then the menthol were sort of a cool tone.
Dude.
But we used to call, and I hope this isn't offensive to anybody, but we used to call Virginia Slims vagina slimes.
What, when you were 14?
Yeah, when I was like, hey, give me one of them vagina slimes, you know?
Oh,
forgive
shit.
Me if I was a kid. It was the 90s.
She was a classy smoker. Yeah, in short, she was a classy-ass smoker.
Anyway.
How about that? I never got into it. I never did it.
Good for you.
Well, I guess so, but... I would have like a clove cigarette every now and then at the bar.
Those would make me sick.
Yeah, they're nasty.
Yeah, but I'd get a head rush with those.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Ciggies.
Phil used to get these Japanese cigarettes that were sold by the milligram. So you could get like a 0.25 milligram nicotine cigarette. So it was like the ultra, ultra, ultra light. They were good.
Whoa.
They were really good.
Where would he get those?
I have no idea.
Fascinating.
Like, would he have to get his own tobacco and roll his own cigs? Mm-mm. Oh, so you could get them that... Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Hmm.
So what else did they put in there? That's what I wanted. I have so many questions.
I
have all the questions.
Because I thought that it was like, how does that happen? Because I always thought it was about the filter.
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Huh. Philip, please let us know if you're listening.
Indeed.
Huh.
Quitting was the best thing, like one of the things I've done in my life that I'm most proud of.
You should be. It's fucking hard.
It is hard.
It's very hard.
And I'm like, Jim's always like, you're going to start up again. I'm like, no, man, what's it going to take to believe me? Like, even my dad, I was like laughing. You're really done smoking, right? I'm like, yeah, dad, I'm done smoking. Like, it's not going to sneak back. But I do have dreams sometimes that I am smoking. And in my dream, I'm like, no, I've been doing so good. I've been so mad at myself. Oh, Leslie, gosh.
Well, it's been a long time.
Anyway.
I doubt that you will.
No, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Does Jack smoke?
No, but we did. I mean, nobody loved it more than my father.
Yeah.
He had this whole...
My dad loved it too.
You can... Donna, I'm just giving Donna work to do an edit. But my dad used to do this thing where it was borderline orgasmic. And my aunt used to laugh every time because he would take a puff of his cigarette and he smoked Montclair's. He would take, or Benson and Hedges, he would take a puff of his cig, twirl his pinky ring, fix his hair, and exhale. And my Aunt Jean always used to be like, Jesus, Jack, what's going on in your head?
I'm dying.
You know, like our ancestral, like,
oh my God,
coin, you know, like,
I can see it.
Our tartan, or what was it? Our tartan, our badge, or, you know, Scottish God. Thing.
We do a version of that every time we have a cup of tea.
We do.
What do you do with tea?
We
like
do.
When it's like just the right temperature, it's like a little bit too hot, but not so hot. And it's just like, oh, that's good tea.
Yeah.
Like,
and you kind of like pull back, like, sharply. And throw your head back and your eyes are closed.
Oh.
And you do that like, oh, yeah, it's a good cup of tea. Mm-hmm. It's like every day. It's every single day.
Is that with PG tips?
Oh, yeah. PG tips forever. I should get a tattoo.
You should.
Jack,
you should.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's great.
Oh, man. God bless Jack. That's fantastic.
So speaking of.